don't have, you go ahead.
And whatever the Lord puts on your heart, as long as you wanna go and whatever you wanna say. They'll go home at 9, but as long as you wanna go, fine.
Well, we'll just I'll just sit here and talk to myself. I raised 4 kids. I'm used to it.
I like it.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I just thinking about preached about Moses last night, offering those lame excuses why he didn't want to go, and I told my folks. I said, "You're better off just saying no. Be honest.
Yeah.
Just say no and be honest, rather than give a lame excuse on why you're not gonna do something for God." Man. Well, how about it's okay if I warm up with a couple songs, is that all right? When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, with a bright and glorious morning I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know, him I shall know, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know, him I shall know, by the print of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know, if I shall know, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know, if I shall know, by the print of the nails in his hand. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by grace we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallowed our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, I shall know, and I shall know, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know, and I shall know, by the print of the nails in his hand. I don't get to sing these songs often, so I have to keep the words in front of me.
Amen.
Hope you don't mind.
By the way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Just throw money.
Yeah.
Saying it to you, I'm not saying it to anybody else.
Of course.
Well, I don't know what you think about the name of Jesus, but I'll tell you what, I didn't think much about it the day I walked into a Baptist church. I didn't think much about it at all. And I sat there and listened to the preacher preaching from a King James Bible. Halfway through that service, I looked at the guy next to me and I said, "This is the first time I've been in church. I have any idea what's going on." He's preaching about this. This is the scripture about what he's talking about. He says, "I understand this. I understand this Jesus here. I can understand that. I got saved that day."
Amen.
I'm telling you what. I told the preacher over dinner, it's like I must have been retarded. I waited for the third verse of the invitation before I actually had enough courage to stand up and walk down to the front of the church and tell somebody I wanted them to take a Bible and show me. And they did, and I walked out of there And I still have not gotten over the precious name of Jesus.
Amen.
I love the precious name of Jesus, for he has been so good to me. He saved me and he gave me life eternal. How I love this man from Galilee, for I was lost in sin when Jesus found me, and he reached way down, he put his arms around me, he placed me on the solid rock. How I love the name of Jesus for each day. I love the precious name of Jesus. It was he who died to set us free. Someday soon, I know he's coming, so that we can live with him eternally, for I was lost in sin when Jesus found me, and he reached way down. Testimony on 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, and about how others have profited from the gifts that God has given me. And I told him, I said, well, I can tell you how I profited, but exactly how others have profited from it, I can't be 100% sure, but I know this one thing. When I do look at him, and I put this life behind me, I'm going to wish I'd given him more. Because you just can't. You can't be too biblical. You can't be too holy. You can't be too fundamental. You can't be too sold out. You can't be too faithful. And you can't present your body a living sacrifice enough to even come close to what he did for us.
Right. Amen.
By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, I wish I had given it more so. By and by, he holds out wish I had given it more, so much more of my love than I ever gave before. By and by, when he holds out his hand, I wish I
music has profited me.
I like it.
It's been a blessing. Still going into the prisons, by the way. And I'm in Collins, correct? They won't let us into Gowanda anymore. And there's a woman chaplain there, and she won't even sit down with me. And with the director of volunteer services. And that's okay, because chances are if I got in there, she'd probably boot me out anyway, and once she booted me out, I'd be done with the whole system. So I'm better off just not even bother going in there then. But the guys, they won't let me out of there in Collins. I go in a couple times a month, and they want to hear this song. And talking about the new life that we have. Talk about a gift. The new life. That God has given us, and the old man is dead. Amen? It's tough sitting down and playing the guitar here and after we just got done eating. Right if I stand.
You do what, brother. This is your show.
I get stretched out a little bit. I feel like I'm trying to squeeze toothpaste out, you know? And it just... that's a little better. Now and then... An old friend of mine, and I seen it sometime. We'll stop by and ask me where I've been, what's been on my mind. Wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town. Love the same.
my life, Jesus. Now the old man's dead. And the man you see before you, may look a lot the same. I may wear the same old clothes and the same old name. Looking on the outside, you can see inside it's dead. You can see a bright man.
To the fullest, okay? I did just about, let me just say this. I packed a lot in, okay? I packed a lot in the first 27 years. And you say, well, what all did you do? What do you got to show for? Nothing.
Amen.
I have nothing to show for. And, and that's, I guess that's why we're here, right? We're talking about what God has done as opposed to what I've done, and the gifts that I've given me versus the gifts that He's given me, because the truth of the matter is I haven't given me anything. And we're in 1 Timothy. You've been hearing it 8 or 10 times already, and that's a blessing. I told the preacher it was a challenge to me to, you know, to try to condense. How do you condense a lifetime? I've been saved now, 38 years.
Amen.
38 years.
Amen.
I can't believe it. And I was almost 28 when I got saved, 27, and very close to 28. And I still have, that junk is still in there. I can hear a song. Somebody can say a phrase, they can say a sentence, and I can just go off, and I have to catch myself. And I don't know if anybody else in here can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's wicked. The Bible says that Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the things that he saw and heard. It's like, Lord, if he got vexed on what he saw and heard, what did I get when I lived it? Right? Not saying I was a sodomite.
Amen.
Want to make sure.
Yeah, amen.
Not saying that.
Yeah, amen. Okay?
But I'm saying I vexed myself with the things not only that I saw and heard, but the things that I did.
Amen.
And it was wicked. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Father, I'm grateful, Lord, to be able to be here down at Black Creek and to see these friends again, and what a blessing it is. Thank you, Lord, for the preacher wanting me here. Thank you for the meal that was provided, dear God. It was a blessing. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord, I have nothing to give these people here. I have nothing. I don't have a delivery. There's nothing I could say to them. But Lord, the Spirit of God can touch each and every heart that's here, listen to someone's testimony, and I could just brag on you for a little while.
Hey.
And Lord, that's what all I want to do, is just brag on what you've done. Because I'm so grateful for it. And Lord, I'm praying that it might have an influence, perhaps an impact, on somebody here tonight. And Lord, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So the verse I was given is in 1 Timothy, all right? And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. I want to start with verse 14, okay? It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And let me just say this. Whether you're saved, whether you're not saved, you've already been given gifts, and we'll talk about that.
Amen.
How about the gift of life? Mm-hmm. You've been given that. You didn't earn that.
Amen.
There's no one here paid to get in. It's like, I want to get in there. Anybody that would pay to come here to planet Earth, they definitely were not capable of time travel.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. No one would come here on purpose. They'd, I mean, maybe Gilligan's Island out there in the galaxy, right? And they just, yes. they ended up here somehow. But my goodness. I'm saying you've been given a gift. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I believe that's talking about spiritual gifts that were handed down from these old-time prophets. And we know that those prophets, those apostles, we know that they ceased, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't have that. No prophet laid hands on me and said, here, you got this. Okay? And so I'm just going to have to coattail somewhat. And the next verse, verse 15, that says, meditate on these things. What things? Those gifts. And give thyself wholly to them. God has given each and every one of you something here. And Paul is telling Timothy, and by the way, I'm sure it's been covered already, all right? But I'm here now. So as you're reading the New Testament, as you're reading the epistles, they've been written to churches, okay? And Romans, you say, well, Romans wasn't necessarily, well, we're not going to split hairs over that. But there's a group of people there. And maybe they weren't established as a church yet. Maybe they were. I don't know. I wasn't there. Nobody else here was there either. But there's a letter written to a group of believers in Rome. The Corinthians is written to a church in Corinth. The Thessalonians, okay, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Colossians. I'm sorry, the Philippians, the Colossians. And all written to churches. Timothy, this is the first time that that Paul is writing to an individual, a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah, it is.
We ought to perk up. This is written to a specific individual now. And he's not writing to the churches as a whole. He's writing to an individual specifically. And if we can take this, if we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word, if we're so that we can grow thereby, if all scripture is given to us by inspiration, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, right? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, then this applies to every person in this room, doesn't it?
Amen.
And whatever Paul was telling Timothy, we can make an application in some way, shape, or form, okay? Chapter 1, don't swerve from the truth. Okay, there's people out there that are going to try to hoodwink you. And you need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me just get right on to chapter, obviously chapter 3, talking about bishops and deacons and, you know, the offices within the church. And then Paul is telling Timothy, listen, don't neglect that gift that's in thee. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Right? That my profiting may appear to all. And we were talking about that. The idea is don't neglect it. Meditate on it. Give yourself completely, wholly to it. You'll profit as a result. And as you profit, others will see it and they'll profit. Okay? I mean, there's a message outline right there. Okay? Don't neglect what God has given you. I have people come into my church and they say, Western New York. Pastor. Yes. I'm from Western New York, by the way. Okay. But I just pick up on that. Pastor. What's my spiritual gift? Why are you asking me? Why would anyone ask the pastor what their spiritual gift is? It's not his spiritual gift. It's your spiritual gift.
Amen.
If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, why don't you know what your spiritual gift is? Perhaps God has done something for you Perhaps you've not taken it seriously. Perhaps you've neglected it. Perhaps you haven't given yourself wholly to it. But you need to meditate on it and give yourself to it and find out. You get involved in a local church and listen, you may as well know where I'm coming from, okay? I'll tell you the reason that I'm here right now is that I believe that the Church of the Living God is the organization with which God works. Yeah, it's right. His form of organization. Amen. It's His agency. And when I had problems within the church, I overcame those. And as a result, I'm now in the ministry and I'm not just drifting along like the tumble and tumbleweeds, spiritually speaking, which many people do. They run into problems at church. It's like, I knew church, just religion. And they forget, they haven't meditated on it. They've neglected to understand it. Wait a second. Regardless of what I think of the church, regardless of what I think of the people, regardless of what I think of the deacon, regardless of what I think of the pastor, this is God's agency.
Amen.
This is His form of organization in Black Creek. Okay? There's no other ministry that has been charged with being the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church.
Amen.
Okay? And I believe that. And so with that in mind, your pastor has seen something in me that he wants me to give to you. But the only reason he sees that is because I stayed in church.
Amen.
Not rocket science, is it? So the idea is this. Everyone here has the same gift I've got. I got life. I'm able to look out and, you know, I mean, I realize some people are blind and some people are deaf. And I don't happen to be that, but people can usually touch and feel things. It's very rare that you're going to find someone that's a Tommy, right? And some of you know what I'm talking about, was deaf, dumb, blind, had no sense of touch, just lived in a total void and couldn't. Right? But he certainly was. He was still able to feel the vibrations. He was still able to live life, right? So I'm saying everyone here has been given that gift. And God created us in His own image. That is a gift. I'm not a woodchuck trying to cross the road. I could have been born as a woodchuck. I could have been born as a raccoon. I could have been born as a possum. God said, no, I'm going to breathe into him and make him a living soul. And he breathed into me the breath of life, and he breathed into you the breath of life, right? But of course, we understand what happened. God made us in his image. We dropped the ball. We blew it, right? And our sins separated us from God. But we still had that gift. We still had the gift of eyesight, of ears, and hearing, all these things. The ability to taste and touch and walk out here and smell the manure. Praise the Lord, we're sitting there driving down the road and it's like, and I'm driving like this to miss the road apples, and it's like, my wife just won the car. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. It's a gift, right? What a blessing. I'm saying when God made us, he incorporated several gifts. And the truth is everything you have, your fingers, your toes, your everything you have is a gift from God. Your next heartbeat is a gift from God. It's not guaranteed. It's a gift if you get it. Your next breath is a gift from God, okay? And the gift of life, listen, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying suicide should never be an option.
Amen.
I don't have any idea who I'm talking to.
Come on.
So I don't know, okay? But suicide should never, ever be an option. What a way to blow an unspeakable gift of life.
Yeah, that's right.
That God, out of his, that intimate act of love that God gave us. Intimate. You're not going to be a possum. You're going to be a human being with a spirit that has the potential to come alive and have a relationship with me, and we can communicate. What a gift. I meditate on that from time to time.
Amen. It's good.
I meditate on that. Just life itself. The natural man. Man under the sun, as Ecclesiastes puts it, right? And praise the Lord for that, okay? The gift of life. And listen, if suicide, if you know somebody that's considering it, you need to understand there's scriptures in there. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you should be able to bear it, right? Amen. God's not going to throw too much at you, so it's not an option. Don't neglect life. Meditate on it. Give yourself to it. You'll profit if you just cherish the fact that God made a loving, intimate act and created you.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, don't neglect that. Live life. Enjoy life. Live life to the fullest, okay? Live life. Love God. Learn to love God. Meditate on that. Don't neglect it. You'll profit. I guarantee you'll profit as a result of it. I just took the verse apart a little bit, right? Underline this. Don't neglect it. Give yourself wholly to it, right? Meditate on it. And you'll profit by it. And others will see it. So I'm just going to keep repeating that over and over again. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to experience life, God's creation, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything that goes with it, right? And the rivers, the horses, the horse manure. You know, I need mud flaps on my car when I come down through here. I'm saying so much experience that even when life doesn't go the way you want it to, at least I'm thinking of a dear, sweet girl, a woman up in the Buffalo area, just lost her daughter. This woman has just had a rough life. But I'm saying even when life is tough and it doesn't seem to be fair and things aren't going your way, it's still something that you can experience, and you can go to God and you can ask God, Lord, help me. You've given me these senses. Help me, Lord, to work through this. And you said that you wouldn't tempt me above, you wouldn't lay too much on me. And it's common to man. Someone else, I'm not the only one going through this. Right. Somebody else is going through this. You know, one reason that folks do get, they get depressed, or they go bipolar or this, that, or the other. And listen, if somebody hears bipolar, I'm sorry. According to the information I'm reading, about 85% of bipolars are hoax. It's just a diagnosis you're giving them pills, right?
Yeah.
There may be 15% that's genuine. It's me. I'm the 15%. Everybody's the 15%. All 100% are the 15%. Yeah. Guaranteed. But I'm just saying, listen, it's common to man. You're not the only one going through it. You're not alone. Okay? Brings us to the second gift. First gift is just life, man. Okay? Life under the sun, natural man. And smell a country air, right? Fresh country air. Love it. I love it. I worked with horses, okay? So I'm not some city slicker. It's like, I'm not like that, okay? I've my dog's rolling it all the time. I got horses right next door to me, okay? And you got the electric fence going on there. The one dog's got a scar across his nose when he went into the electric fence, and the other one, the little one, she just goes underneath, and all the horses come around and watch her. They form like a little amphitheater, and they watch her rolling. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. And she's rolling it. And I'm just saying, hey, listen, that's life. Enjoy life, okay? That brings us to the second gift, not to be neglected. And that's faith. God gave you an element of faith. That's a gift from God. Everything you have is a gift of God.
Amen.
Your brain, or the lack thereof, is a gift from God. Your half a brain is a gift from God.
Amen.
Okay? Your ability to reason, it's like, why am I here, is a gift from God. Meditate on that. Know why you're here. Okay? Know that you didn't come from rock soup. Know that you didn't come from some explosion from when all the mass of the universe was the size of a little grain of sand. You talk about having faith. That takes a lot of faith right there. I don't have that much faith. I got faith that someone from an outside source came in and said, Man, I'm throwing it out there. I'm going to create heaven. I'm going to create, that's going to be my work table. And then I'm going to create earth. And I'm throwing it all down there. Now you can think what you want, okay? Some people say, well, it says earth. That means the globe. I think it means space and matter. That's just me, okay? And I wasn't there in the beginning. And neither was anybody else I know. So we'll find out. But the earth was without form and void. That makes sense. God took a big pile of nothing and plopped it on the table of space and said, there, we got heaven and earth. Now let's do something with it. That's what I think. The potter, right?
Amen.
Watch this. Ching, ching, right? I don't know how. I meditated on that stuff. Okay? I meditated on that from Cincinnati, Ohio, down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. One time. That's it. I didn't read a book. I was driving. It's just like, Lord, what about all this stuff? I'm saying God's given everybody a measure of faith. And Isaiah chapter 45 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe when God says all, he means all.
Amen.
Okay? And again, I don't know who's here. I'm just telling you what I think.
Amen.
And please don't get up and walk. Oh, please. There she goes. She's walking.
You mad?
Calvinist.
You offend her.
Burn her at this point. But look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, there is none else. I believe they mean all the ends of the earth. I mean, I think God literally wants every person on this planet saved. That's what I believe.
I like it. Amen.
And I'm saying don't neglect that gift if you're here and you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. Don't leave tonight until you get that squared off. See the man right over there. He'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you are a child of God and you've got a home in heaven or wherever we're spending eternity. I'm not a heretic. Not too much anyway. But it depends on who you talk to, right? I'm saying I neglected my faith for over 27 years. I neglected it, and I just lived with the first gift. I believed in God. I don't know if I ever didn't believe in God. I just figured I was doing okay, you know? And under the false impression, eternal life is just our reward. You know, if you haven't killed anybody, you haven't raped anybody, you haven't robbed a bank, you're ahead of the game. You're doing all right. That was my attitude. And if, you know, whatever we got to talk about when I get there, we'll settle it when I get there. Talk about arrogant, right? But that's just the way I felt. It's like, I haven't done anything to warrant hell. Surely you got to kill somebody to go there. But I'm saying I was under that false impression that eternal life was a reward given if you just weren't too bad. And I figured I'm not too bad, so therefore I must have it. And but there's a difference between a gift and a reward. You work for a reward. You don't work for a gift.
That's right.
Don't neglect the gift of eternal life. God gave it to you. Look unto me and be saved. All the ends of the earth. For I'm God. There is none else. There's no other way. This is it. I asked for the gift of life with my Creator. It's an unspeakable gift. I gave my testimony a little bit to the preacher while we were having dinner. I know I've talked to you here before, you know, when I was here, that I walked in, living a hellish lifestyle. And didn't think it was that hellish, but walked into a Baptist church, and first Baptist I ever, I was almost 28 years old before I even met someone that I recognized as a Baptist. Mm-hmm. The only reason I recognized them as Baptist because they were in church. Mm-hmm. But I sat down, listened to the preaching, and walked out of there a saved, born again, child of God. Someone took the Bible, cared enough for my soul, and showed me how God had given me a free gift, and the false impression that I was under was gonna send me straight to hell.
Amen.
And I didn't want to go there. And I already believed in God. Nobody had to convince me of the existence. Evolution, yeah, they had to convince me about the creation and all that stuff. I mean, of course, I'm a product of the public education system. But that came in time, okay? And so praying, the very next gift I experienced, I had genuine joy. I walked out of that church, bib overalls, okay, glitter on my t-shirt, long shag hair, haircut, right? Remember the shags?
Oh, yeah.
Had one. And a long shag haircut and 6'2", right? I wasn't as big as I was now, but I was probably 200 pounds. 6'2" guy, long hair, skipping down the sidewalk. Picture that. I'm going to heaven. I'm spending eternity with God. Me, I'm doing it. The book says. And I was like, it's like, look at those clouds, never look so beautiful. That sunshine never looked so beautiful. The air smells different. I'm different. I'm looking at life different. Turn on the news. Oh, no, that's the wrong decision right there. That's not the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's supposed to be. The news takes on a whole new interpretation. I'm starting to see things from God's eyes now, from God's perspective instead of me. What a gift, an unspeakable gift of salvation. Don't neglect it, okay? I began to meditate on these things. The obvious that the profit to myself is, it's far beyond measure. It's like, how do you put a price tag on life? It's like, you can't. Well, say, what is a life worth? Well, if you talk to a scientist, they're going to break it down to the chemical compound. It's like, okay, so we're all worth about, what, $3.50? I don't know, something like $3.50. And so we go out and buy a $400 suit, you know, and a $200 hat and put it on a $3.50 body. Brilliant. No. I'm saying I got something precious, unspeakable, and it's priceless, the profit. The profit of what I have now with a life in Christ, okay? The gift of life, salvation, a home for eternity with my Creator. And listen, you say, what is salvation profit? I have not seen, amen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them to love him. I have, you can't, I mean, a price tag? Pitiful. What do you? You can't even. There's no commodity that you could incorporate into the word profit. They're not even compatible, right? The profit. I got eternity. A gift from God. Why? Right after I got saved, I got on the phone. I figured, man, you know, because I didn't know this verse. Everybody's got a profit with all. But something inside here says, you need to tell some people. People need to know this. They've been going to that church over there for decades and they don't know this. Because you already asked. I asked my parents when I was 6 years old about going to heaven and they were clueless. They'd already been going to church for 20, 30 years. They didn't know. Had no idea. I had to wait for another 21 years and a double decade of decadence on my part before I could find out how, and it took the guy 10, 15 minutes. It's like, how in the world can this take 15 minutes and they've been doing this all their life now for 40 years and they don't know where they're spending eternity? I call mom and dad. They weren't impressed. I don't get it. Mom, dad, I got saved. Oh, that's good. I'm very happy for you. Yeah, I'm very happy for you. Okay, well, listen, I mean, God saved me. I mean, I'm going to heaven. And it's like, well, listen, I'll talk to you later. Call my sister up, right? She's got to know. Her name's Alice. Alice, you're not going to believe this. I got saved. It's like, oh, well, I'm happy for you. Just don't take this too far. That's what her exact words. Yeah. Don't take it too far. Like, how far can I take it? I'm instructed to take it around the world. Of course, I didn't know that then. I know that now. But I'm just saying, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've got eternal life. What a gift. I've got Christ in me, a gift. A gift from God, the hope of glory. What kind of a concept, what kind of a crazy concept is that? That the one that created me now dwells inside of me. Oh, wait a second. That's only the half of it. Because he says, while I'm dwelling in you, Ephesians chapter 2 tells me that I'm actually seated with him in heavenly places. Wait a second. I'm in Christ. But wait a minute. Christ is in me. But I can't comprehend this. What is a crazy concept? I'm so saved, it's pitiful. I'm hell-proof. God already has me up there. Amen. I don't understand it, but he's down here. He'll get me there, right? Amen. Oh, my goodness. The Spirit of God is living in me, okay? Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's a gift. Don't neglect that. Don't anybody neglect the fact that you've got the Spirit of God living in you, and while he's living in you, you're seated in heavenly places with God Almighty. Why don't we get more victory over sin in our life? Why don't we get more victory over the giants in our life? Why don't we get more victory? How are other people? The Spirit began to work on me. Conviction. You know what? I hope you know this may just destroy your perception of me. I used to, you know, when I got saved, the long hair, the whole thing that goes along with it, right? Lascivious lifestyle, you know, drugs, rock and roll, all that whole thing, right? I used to love being able to put my feet up like this, read my Bible, and right next to me, I had my pot plants growing, right? And I had my high-output 8-foot grow light. I just saw it again today. It's laying in the basement of a house I just sold. It's still there, and I would sit and my plants would cast a shadow on the Bible, along with the grow lights, and it was the most beautiful color. And I'd read my Bible. Reading my Bible by the shade of the pot plants, right? And all of a sudden, guess what? It didn't take too long, and it's like something inside of me, I think I know who that was, says, what in the world are you doing? I'm reading my Bible. What in the world are you doing? I'm reading my Bible by the beautiful shade of my pot plants. It's illegal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be doing it, should I? Mm-mm. Conviction.
Amen.
Conviction. That was my first Holy Ghost conviction.
I like it. Amen.
I won't tell you how I responded, okay? But needless to say, 30 several years later, I'm over it. Okay. When did you give up pot? What time is it?
No.
Listen, I'm just saying, I'm saying that was my first dose of genuine Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
And I had to do something. I did take action. Okay? It's probably not the action that God wanted exactly. But it was action,
Amen.
And I did away with those plants, and I'll leave it at that. I ripped them up and slowly got rid of them. But it was conviction. Hey, how many people, how many people have been saved for years and it's like, you know, they don't feel convicted about going to the beach in a bikini. They don't feel convicted about drinking their alcohol. They don't feel convicted about smoking their dope. They don't feel convicted about listening to their rock and roll. They don't feel convicted about getting their divorce and going out with the woman that God really wanted for them all along.
Come on.
They don't feel convicted about that. I'm saying I got genuine Holy
Ghost.
And I'm saying I profited as a result of
Amen.
It.
Amen. I like
it. Took a little longer than God would have wanted. But I profited. I'm saying it, the alcohol went away, diminished, went down to almost nothing. I didn't even need a preacher to tell me. My dope went almost down to nothing. I didn't need a preacher to tell me. Cigarettes. I got to do something about these cigarettes. Nobody had to tell me that. The Holy Ghost is saying, you need to do something about that, man. It smells. And listen, and honestly, the alcohol was the first thing to go.
Amen.
I'm saying the conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, is a gift from God.
I love
Too many
it.
People neglect it.
Amen.
It's a gift. Don't neglect it. Meditate on it. Lord, what's going on in my life? Let a man examine himself, okay?
Amen.
And if you're in the faith, there's still plenty of things you can examine yourself over. I tell my church, we're all a bunch of onion heads, right? Just about the time you get this little layer peeled off, I got the victory over that. Yeah, there's another layer here. Wait a second, what's that? Well, we're going to have to deal with this one for a while. Wait a second, I got another layer over here. There's no end to the layers, man. I'm telling you, I'm saved 38 years. I'm still pulling the layers off, you know, over and over and over. I just had a conversation with Brother Mark. I got another layer. I got at least a few layers. I still got to pull off, don't I, Brother Mark?
Glory to God.
Yeah, he's nodding. And I'm saying alcohol, the language, my foul mouth, my nickname was the Prince of Perversion because of my foul mouth, okay? Guess what? Conviction. Can't talk like that. I hadn't even gotten that far yet where let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Hadn't even gotten there. Hadn't gotten to the part where, you know, turn the other cheek, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you want to say something about me being go ahead, huh? You know, I hadn't gotten to that turn the other cheek part. And I'm saying, how were other people profiting from this? I don't have any idea. I don't know if anybody was. I know I started to.
I like it, amen.
I started to. And based on their people's responses, they didn't profit by it. My phone stopped ringing. I must have forgot to pay my phone bill. No, you didn't forget to pay your phone bill. They just don't want to have anything to do with you.
Amen.
All you want to do is talk about Jesus. I got saved up in Niagara Falls, and my parents lived in Hamburg. So it takes a good, you know, 40 minutes. Once a month, I'd drive from Niagara Falls down to Hamburg to have dinner with my folks. And by the time I'd hit the second Grand Island Bridge, it's like, I'm soaking wet. I'm all worked up. I am all worked up in a lather over having dinner with my parents because of what they're going to say, what they're going to do. Why, well, yeah, you're 2 minutes, well, I have to see. You can't be 5 minutes early. You know, whatever. I mean, whatever it is, it's just, you know, ridicule, you know, up one side, down the other, and it's just going to be, it's going to be ugly because that's just the way it was. But now all of a sudden, God starts working on me. I'm ready to turn around and go back and take another shower because I'm all aggravated. I'm ready to road rage somebody just because they're there. But I'm worked up going home, to driving home to have dinner with my parents. Anger. All of a sudden I come face to face with anger. I've got an anger problem. That's pretty bad to know. I mean, by at this point I'm 28 years old. And how can I, at 28, how can I not know that I have an anger problem? I never knew. I just thought it was normal. I thought it was natural. I got, look at myself. I'm saying, I am all worked up and I'm ready to punch something. I'm going to have dinner. God started talking about it. And I realized the hatred and the resentment that I had for my father. Okay? We have, Mark and I have similar backgrounds, okay? We had overbearing fathers, oppressive, okay? open to ridicule, somewhat malicious, violent, okay? And we were the subject of that. I'm a man, and I'm putting this all together. Mm-hmm. I still didn't have, when I was in high school, I still didn't have it together, knowing what was going on. Now I'm 28, I've got it, I'm a child of God, and God's starting to show me who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's ugly. I don't know how many of you ever heard Pastor Cole up there in Eden give his testimony. He goes, yeah, he goes, I started getting spiritual, so I told God, it's like, turn the burners on. I want to see what I really am. I want to know who I really am. So turn the burners on. He goes, after about 2 weeks, I said, turn it off. I'm starting to find out who I am. And it ain't pretty. I got anger issues. I got hatred issues. I've got pent up violence inside that's just waiting to come out. Which it had from time to time, but I thought that was just normal, right? So it's like, Lord, what about this? I'm driving from Niagara Falls once a month. I'm having this conversation with God. When I get my, about the second Grand Island Bridge, right? The South Grand Island, we're coming from the falls down. About the second Grand Island Bridge, the conversation starts going. Look at me, Lord, look at this. It's like, yeah, I'm seeing it. And it's like, well, what about this? Well, you got anger issues, you got hatred, you got resentment issues. I told you to honor your father and your mother. I told you to do that. Well, how in the world can I do that? He's doing this, 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 this. Yeah, well, what did the world do to me? And what was my reaction? My reaction was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, how can anybody possibly be an adult and not know that they're doing this? They don't know. And it's like, well, Lord, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving my father because look at, and it's like, well, and then the Holy Ghost is saying, how do you know that the way you were raised wasn't 10 times better than the way he was raised? Mm-hmm. What about that one? Yeah, we'll go for a few exits on that one. Maybe he thinks he's doing a fantastic job compared to the way he was raised. It's a gift. When God starts showing you stuff, when God starts explaining things to you because you're meditating on things and you're honestly going to God, he'll show you something. And I'm saying, it's a blessing, all right? So how's my profiting appearing to anybody at this point? And I don't know, but then I'm trying to make a long story short. I'd say, how in the world am I supposed to compact this, right? I told Brother Mark, I was certain that we started at 7, and I'll be done by 8. We'll have to jaw for a little while and all that stuff. We'll be in the car down the road at 8:30. I says, now that the thing doesn't start till 7:30, I says, there's no way we're... I said, that's out the window, right? So, we can go home whenever you want, but... I got married. Making a long story short, I got married. Within a week and a half after I got married, Pastor Guadagno came knocking on my door. I thought it was a hit squad, right? He was there with his brother. It's like, who is this? My first word out of my mouth, open the door, you guys got guns? Or what? I mean, they looked like a couple of gangsters, right, standing at the door. We got your visitor's card from that church over there that didn't want to deal with you. So they gave us your visitor's card, and so we're just following up. We got a little church. You want to come to our church? If I beat you in arm wrestling, will you come to my church? That's how my pastor witnessed, right, to me. And it's like, yeah, if you can beat me, I'll come to your church. And so we arm wrestled. The rest is history. He was a bodybuilder, right? Yeah. I didn't know that at the time. I thought he was just fat. I didn't realize he was just, he had a beautiful, 180-pound body, fully chiseled body wrapped in that 300-pound bag of fat.
Nicely sculpted.
Yeah.
Good pastor.
We had our first kid. going to church now. I've been floundering around. I moved into Lackawanna from Niagara Falls. I moved into Buffalo. They wouldn't let me join the church over there in Buffalo. The church I'm pastoring now wouldn't let me join the church. So I left there, took the pastor's daughter. We ran off. We got married. And I'm telling you, a wild child here. And still, I mean, I'm telling you, when God convicts me, it takes a while for it to get better. But he does convict. Don't let anybody say, well, God doesn't convict me. You're not meditating. You're neglecting. You're not paying attention. Had my first kid. The church started a bus ministry. We need somebody to drive the bus. I'm looking around. Nobody's raising their hand. I'll drive the bus. Come on up here and make that public. And went up there and it's like, I'll drive the bus. And then all of a sudden he starts with all the notebooks and the cassette tapes and this end. And it's like, what's all this junk? It's like, it's how to start a bus ministry. What's a bus ministry? What do I know about a bus ministry? So we went in, we started going down to the city mission and picking the drunks and the, you know, those guys up and the destitute and bringing them to church. And then we advanced and we got ourselves another bus, and we started going into Lackawanna, back of the bridge, Lackawanna, you know, and picking up those kids, disarming them, frisking them, you know, disarming them before they get on the bus, you know, and have to keep them in line, teaching them songs about Jesus. I'm just learning the songs. I never heard these songs before. And I gotta learn these songs and all that kind of stuff, and learning about myself, learning that I don't have any patience. Not only do I have an anger issue, I don't have any patience, right? And the pastor says, okay, come on, we're hopping in the van, we're going to pastor school. We went to Hammond to pastor school, and I'm seeing, it's like, holy smokes, look at all this. And it's like thousands of people there, and coming back, of course, I'm a smoker, right? Okay, wait a second. If I'm going to pastor school, I can't hop in a van with all these Christians, right? And drive all the way to stinking Chicago. And, when we stop for refuel, I can't run behind the gas station, you know, and smoke a cigarette real fast and then get back in the van. How's everybody doing? Did you get your snacks? You know, I can't do that to them. So it's like, okay, Lord, this is it. Now we're going there. We're getting in that van. I'm taking a shower. I'm changing my clothes, and that's it. I'm done with smoking. And we made it. And I did real good for about 6 months. Then all of a sudden, one of these kids had started smoking again. Meanwhile, the preacher, you know, he's saying, Brother Jim, you know how we talk, right? Brother Jim, can you do us all a favor and not smoke on the bus? Preacher, I'm not smoking while the kids are in here. I'm waiting until after they leave. And then I'm driving down the street with a church bus and a cigarette.
Oh, my gosh.
Hair. Hey, but the hair's not here. The hair's up to here now. I'm getting there. Slow but sure. I think my wife even had me wearing a tie at that point. And bus ministry, learning about myself, got no patience, okay? God showing me what a train wreck I'm at. Then the pastor says, okay, now we get back into Blaisdell on Sunday night. I want everybody to have a testimony about what you just learned here this week, what God did for you. Have a testimony? Stand in front of people and string my, I couldn't even string my thoughts together. I'm telling you the truth here. I didn't have any idea what a testimony was. I didn't know how, and I sat there and I listened to these little ladies get up there, and they're just chattering away about what God did, and oh yeah, blah, 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 just like to see all these other ladies, blah, blah, blah. And they're just going a mile a minute. And it's like, I've got a pit in my stomach, I'm ready to puke. And it's like, I don't have any idea what to even say to these people. Lord, I can't even put together a one-sided conversation. I'm a mess as a human being. But God has shown me that through the church, mm-hmm. through the church. and just agony, right? Then a kid draws, then one of the kids, one of the bus kids draws a stick figure, right? With a man and a Bible in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand. And there's smoke going up for the cigarette. And in the smoke, the kid writes, Mr. Jim.
Oh.
Conviction. And it's like, these kids have never seen me smoke. How do they know? How do they know? Probably doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I'm smoking a cigarette on the way to the bus, and then I'm smoking a cigarette in the bus on the way to go pick them up. It probably doesn't have anything to do with that. But they knew.
Yeah.
Conviction. Going to pastor school the next year. Lord, this is it. I mean, you saw what I did last year. I mean, I did good for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months, and now I'm right back up packing a half a day again. What, you know, I started calling myself all kinds of expletives, and I had a whole list of those that I could use, and it's like, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, would you just let some drunk run up on the curb? Here I go, I'm going to buy another pack of cigarettes. And going back to Hammond the next year. Okay, Lord, I'm taking a shower, I'm changing my clothes, and I'm not going to smoke the whole time there, Max. But 5 days, by the time I'm done with 5 days, it's out of my system, and the rest is mental. And you know what? I finally got victory over that thing.
Hey.
I finally did. God, that was the hardest thing. I'm saying, was playing, I'd already been playing the guitar. My wife, she sings like an angel. And so we start, you know, just around the house. Got a couple kids now. Start singing Christian song, I'll Fly Away, this, that, and the other. All of a sudden, my pastor hears us singing. You got to get up there and do that for a special. Right? And it's like, staying there in front of all those people. Yeah, all 20 of them. Right? It's a small church, right? But I'm just saying, I don't know if it's, I don't know if what I'm saying is that anybody can identify with it. I don't know if I'm boring you. I hope I'm not boring you.
Come on.
And I'm just saying, these are steps that are taken. They're gifts. Okay? These steps, these, the victory, okay, of the alcohol, the dope, the hair, the music, the lascivious lifestyle, the foul mouth, all that stuff. These victories are now a gift. We need to meditate on those gifts that we've gotten. We need to meditate on the gifts that we have. We need to meditate on the victories that we haven't gotten, because God's not done with us yet. Pastor, I used to tell a pastor, preacher, I'm telling you, I'm just, you know, I hate kids, okay? I mean, I'm doing a bus because we need somebody to drive the bus, but I hate kids, okay? Bunch of little rug rats, curtain climbers, you know, grass smashers, that whole thing. Linoleum lizards. And it's like, I hate kids. Brother Jim. Yeah, preacher. I know how you feel about kids, but we need a junior boys Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher just quit the church. Would you pray about it? No, preacher. I won't pray about it. We need it, right? And he goes, yeah. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it till we find a replacement. Start looking for a replacement, but I'll do it. 17 years later, we found a replacement. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying I didn't realize it was a gift staring me in the face to do something that I hated doing in the first place. But you want to know something? I love little kids now. I love little kids. And then they when they come into the church, I play hot hands with them, I fool around. I like kids now. I hate them. And God, but through the church, right? God taking the wickedness inside, bringing it to a surface, and then dealing with it because somebody's willing to do. I understood the benefit of the local church. And I hated half of what I heard there. You think I liked it when my preacher get on my case? He's preaching right at me. Right? And I hated it. And we'd go out in the parking lot afterwards. People's like, man, they're going to start throwing rocks at each other. The evangelist is in the church like, oh, man, I just got the church split. Guy's out in the parking lot. This guy's taking that beautiful family and he's gone. 10 minutes later, we're sitting there having coffee in the preacher's kitchen, right? I'm just saying things. It's the church, right? The church is a gift. Don't neglect the church. Ministry is a gift. It's a privilege to be able to serve God. Then my preacher told me I had a problem with music. I won't make a long story short. I ended up having to drive to Wisconsin to sit down with somebody and have them teach me about godly music because I had a problem with music. A lot of believers today got a problem with music. They won't take the time to go and really search out music and study it, okay? And start raising kids. Listen, I'm still sitting there reading my Bible by my dope hands. I'm starting to raise kids now. I've got 4 kids. And I'm trying to train them. And I'm trying to correct them. And I'm trying to discipline them. And while I'm trying to train them and correct them, God's saying, you haven't even gotten victory over what you're trying to get them to have victory over. How do you expect them to have the victory if you don't have the victory? You see, you don't think they can see the hypocrisy there? I'm saying that's a gift. When God shows you those things, you know what most people do? They run. They run away from that. And that's why our churches, we don't see strong believers in our churches because they run away from conviction. They run away when God's trying to show them something. They run away. It's too hard. It takes too much effort. It takes too much character. I got Alan Jones coming to my church next month. And he taught me one thing very, 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 very special. He says, conviction without character will kill you. You can't even develop a conviction if you don't have character. You say, well, what are you saying? How are you gonna get victory over what God's trying to convict you of if you don't have any character? Because it takes effort. It takes work. It takes consistency. It takes discipline. And it takes commitment to get victory over things in your life. God says, put off anger. It's not, you know, it's like, well, I prayed about it, but God hasn't delivered me from it yet. Okay? That's not Bible. What's Bible is, put off malice and guile and anger and strife and envy. Put it off like a dirty, stinking, rotten garment. Take it off and drop it there somewhere and get rid of it. You mean it's on me to get rid of it? Yeah, it's on you to get rid of it. Well, I prayed about it, but God hasn't delivered me, so oh well. That's pathetic, okay? And we have a level in Christianity today. We have an element in Christianity that's their attitude. Well, if I haven't gotten a victory, so oh well. When God's ready to move, when the Spirit, it sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? When the Spirit of God is ready to move, then I'll be delivered.
Come on.
What happened to put it off? You do it. And I said, I told you, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can do it. There is no temptation taking you, but such as put it off. Put it off. I'm there. I'm inside you. But I'm not putting it off. You're putting it off. Hey, when the children of Israel finally did cross the Jordan River, all the people didn't just fall down dead. All the enemies didn't just fall down dead, did they?
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying they went across and the fight starts now.
Amen.
Okay? Now you got submission. You're saved, the fight starts. It's, you know, not this, oh God, will you make all the people of Jericho just go away? Lord, can all the people of Ai just die in front of us? No. You got to go fight them. And you might lose a battle here and there. But then you're going to have to go back and fight them again.
Amen.
And fight them. And I'm saying it takes character. It takes discipline. It takes commitment. And you have to dwell on those things. You have to meditate on this word of God.
Good.
Okay? That's a gift. Okay? God on paper. And you have to dwell on that and meditate on it and focus on it and pray about it. And don't neglect it. And God will give you victory over some things. So where am I now? I don't know. I'm in my second last page. Okay? I'm almost done. So it's like I'm saying I'm still my preacher tells me I got a problem with music and I'm trying to raise my kids and I still got problems and the Spirit of God is saying you got more problems than your kids got for crying out loud. You're trying to raise them right and you're not right yet. I'm arguing with my preacher. I'm arguing with my kids. I'm arguing with my wife. I'm arguing with my father. He taught me how to do that. And it's like there's no end to the turmoil. What do you mean there's turmoil? You're married, you got a house, you got kids, you got a business, you're teaching Sunday school, you're driving the bus route, and turmoil. I'm saying it's agony. Preacher, that's not what I want to hear when I come to church. I don't want to hear how it's agony.
Come on.
The agony is in here.
That's right.
I'm trying to get victory. I'm screwed up. I'm a train wreck. And God, slowly but surely, he's performing surgery. He's doing spiritual acupuncture, if I could use that term.
Like
and he says, right there's the problem. Oh, we got to work on that. More work. Work, right? More work. And I'm just saying, and then dealing with people. Ugh, people drive you nuts. How can they be so stupid? Lord, what do? Stay faithful. Be like David. Behave yourself wisely. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I hate that verse. Why? Because it takes away any excuse.
Amen.
Don Green, I just told my church this. Don Green says an excuse is a lie wrapped in a coat of a reason. This is why I don't want to serve God. That's a lie wrapped in a coat of, that's your reason. Scrap your excuse. If you don't want to do it, just stand there and say, I ain't doing it. Because I'm a rebel. Yeah. At least be honest. At least have some integrity. So people know who you are and what you are. Well, I don't want anybody to know. So I'll just... Well, I'm not sure I could make it this week, preacher. You know, I just got a little... You know, got some people coming from out of town. Why don't you bring them with you? Well, you know, they're just not... Excuses.
Uh-huh.
Stay faithful. Lord, I can't take, I'm telling you, I wanted to get out of church so many times, it's not even funny. But Lord, look at me. I'm an absolute mess. If this is what I have, if this is the family I have while I'm in church three times a week, then Lord, what happens when I pull them out? What am I going to get? What am I going to have? They'll have no bearing. They'll have no Sunday school. They'll have no junior church preacher. They're not going to be able to hear. They're not going to be able to sing the songs. Mom and dad aren't going to be fortified. If I go someplace else, I'll just run into the same problems there eventually. Lois is helping me with my anger. You know, maybe the reason that you're upset with the kids is because you think they're processing the information you just gave them the same way you process it. But they probably aren't, they've never thought the way you thought. They're thinking something completely different. Why don't you try asking them? Okay, so I told you guys to go do this. So when I said that, what was going through your mind? What did you think I meant? Well, I thought you meant it's like, whew, wow. No wonder they didn't do it.
Yeah.
They didn't even come close to what I was thinking. And I'm all bent out of shape. Well, wait a minute. What about when I get angry with this person? What about when I get angry with that person?
Come on.
What about when I lose my patience with that person? Maybe they're not processing things the way I have it processed. Right? And then I found out that anger really is a pride issue. I'm angry because they don't think like me. They should think like me. And it's like, why should they think like you? They have a brain. Why can't they think for themselves? And maybe they process it differently. Ooh. Oh, Lord, that one hurt. Oh, yeah, well, we're not done with that one yet. And I started developing patience.
Amen.
And I started looking at things. Why did I just get angry? Why was my first reaction anger? Why was the first emotion that I just displayed, why was it anger? You say, preacher, why do you keep bringing up anger? Because our churches are infested with it.
Yes, sir.
Particularly among men. Women may hide it a little better, I don't know. But people are frustrated. And people are uptight inside. And people are angry inside. And it may stem from the way they were raised. And maybe they didn't learn how to forgive. And maybe they didn't learn how to... I had a woman walk out of my office. I'll never forgive my mother for what she did. Stormed out of the office and walked off. Never saw her again. I said, you need to learn how to unconditionally forgive like Jesus
did. Amen.
Listen. Let me be done. I gave up the alcohol, the dope, the rhythm and blues, the rock and roll, the swearing, the cursing, the cigarettes, that uncircumcised Philistine of anger, that giant, right? Depression. I've dealt with that. Man, you can't help but get depressed if you're angry all the time.
Oh yeah, come on.
Because your mind, your body can't function at that level. You gotta crash. You gotta crash. You can't stay wired like that. You gotta come down. And when you do, you're gonna go to the opposite. You're gonna be depressed.
Yep.
And then you're gonna get angry. And then you're gonna get depressed. And then you're gonna get angry. And you're gonna be depressed. And it'll go for days at a time, one to the other. And they'll call that bipolar. No, you're not bipolar. You're struggling with some spiritual issues that you need to address.
Good.
And give diligence to and focus on and not neglect, meditate on them, and be committed to overcome these things. Analyze. And anyway, slowly but surely, I started to get a hold, dealing with the adult choir. I got the music program now. The preacher gave me the music program. I'm still back, 20 years here, okay? And I'm still dealing with all this stuff inside. But all that stuff, the ministry, you know what the ministry is doing? It's bringing all that dross to the surface.
Uh-huh.
It's all getting heated up, and it's all coming out. And the preaching and the conviction and the prayer, and it's like, oh God, what am I gonna do? And then slowly but surely it's getting scraped away.
Come on.
Slowly but surely. When I turned 50, God says, you like your business? It's all right. Shut it down. What? Shut your business down. It took me about 6 months to wrap things up and shut the business down. Now I got 4 kids. My son is graduating high school. Dad's 50 years old, has 4 kids. The lights are on. There's no income. I have a college-age student right now, a son. And I have a daughter that's 2 years behind him. What is going on? Train wreck. Okay, and God is dealing all this stuff. And he's got me isolated on the backside of the desert now. Oh my goodness. Not the first time I've been on the backside of the desert, by the way. But he's got me on the backside of the desert. He's still fine-tuning some things. By the way, I got a lot of fine-tuning yet to do, okay? Some course tuning too. But I'm saying, out of work, I can't collect unemployment because I was self-employed. And I've come all this way, and now I have absolutely nothing. Well, you got me. Yeah. Well, And 6 months later, after that, he says, okay, now I got you where I want you. Now I want you to go full time for me. Amen. And he called me into a service. As imperfect as I was, but when I look back and I see my mouth, the dope, the alcohol, the lifestyle, the anger, the tobacco, the lack of patience, the hatred, just the visceral, and see all those things slowly but surely melting. There's still a lot of it there. Okay, there's still some there, but I'm not debilitated by it now. I can function. I can think like a human being. I can serve God. I can teach. I can teach a junior boys Sunday school genuinely with love.
Amen.
The very thing I hated. What a ride. What a ride. What kind of a price tag do you put on a ride like that? How does it profit? There's no words.
I love it.
There's no words to express it. The value. Now I'm a pastor. 29 years since the Lord saved me. I was on a 29-year journey. Moses was on a 40-year journey. Mine only took 29 years. And God called me full-time, took me out on the road, showed me churches all over the country, and this, that, and the other. Now I ended up as a pastor. Wasn't looking to be a pastor, but I'm a pastor. And I'm saying the value, how have I profited? I can't answer that. It's priceless.
Amen.
Amen.
And I didn't gain the whole, I didn't gain the whole world. I gained my own soul. God gave me an identity as a child of God. And it's incalculably priceless. Others have no idea how far I've come. I'm working with a church now, and some of those folks got more problems than I had. But I'm able to work with them.
Amen.
Most of them don't want to hear it. Most of them, it takes too much effort. But there's some that stick around, and little by little, little by little, little by little, they're getting it.
I like it.
Amen?
Amen.
Don't neglect it. Meditate on it. Give yourself to it completely. Don't give up. Amen? It's a gift, and you'll profit. Praise the Lord.
Father, I want to thank you now for Brother Domat being here, and I want to pray that he and Brother Mark travel to Maine tonight, that you bless them, help them stay awake, fill that car with joy. And I pray you make them fruitful when they get there. And I do pray now and thank you again for the man and the ministry. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. Now, Ashley gave me $75 to give. Anybody else?